The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful Filipino valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs. Risking his life, the criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, Picture in the Dark. The Green Hornet strikes again. Michael Axford and Edward Lowry, reporters on the Daily Sentinel, had dropped in at the Swankmore nightclub and were seated at the bar.
Sure, it's a waste of money to come into a place like this, Lowry. That guy Lou Ellis must make a pile of dough out of this ritzy joint.
Ellis has got this town sewed up. He's the biggest racketeer in the city. But the cops can't get anything on him. I have another quick one, Mike.
Well, no, I never take more than one.
Well, just as you say, I was going to set him up.
So as not to hurt your feelings, I'll have another wee one.
Right. Hey, Joe.
What do you have? Two of the same?
Yeah.
I'll have a couple, too. The sarsaparilla.
Right. Come on right up.
Holy crow! Did you hear that? Somebody got shot.
I heard it, all right. Come on, this is a break for us. This is our chance to get a scoop for the Sentinel. And how?
Read all about it! Set the lights be perfect!
Later that night, Britt Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was in the city room talking to Axford and Lowry.
That racketeer Lou Ellis is literally getting away with murder around this town.
You said it, boss. He's a smooth one, all right, and plenty smart.
That he is, Reed. The cops can't get anything on him. By the time the cops got out there tonight, the murder guy, Joe Libby, was lying in a hallway where anyone could have shot him.
Yeah, and when we tried to get back to where the shot seemed to come from, we were stopped by a couple of big lugs. They wouldn't let anybody through till the cops got there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ellis were responsible for that killing.
Me either. But he always has an alibi. And they say he never carries a gun on him.
Sarge says they're going to try to shut down the Swankmore. But if they do, Ellis has pull enough to get it open again soon.
Yes, his influence is too great for a man of his type, Axford.
Sure, and the Sentinel ought to burn that guy up in an editorial.
You want us to lay ourselves open to a lawsuit?
Ellis is just the guy who'd grab at the chance to sue the Sentinel, too.
Now, you're right about that. But one thing we can do is pound at the police until they turn up something on this latest killing. If Lou Ellis is allowed to go on, there's no telling where it'll lead to.
The following afternoon, Miss Case, secretary to Britt Reed, was busy at her desk when a man entered and approaching hesitantly, stood nervously fingering his hat.
Good afternoon. May I help you?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you can. I want to see Mr. Reed.
Well, Mr. Reed's rather busy at the moment. Perhaps if you'd like to make an appointment to see him in the morning,
No, it's important for me to see him now.
Oh, I'm sorry,
It's about about that murder last night.
Oh. Just a minute.
Yes, Miss Case?
Mr. Reed, there's a man here to see you. He says it's in connection with that murder case.
What? What's his name, do you know?
No, I don't. I'll ask him. May I have your name, please?
Now, tell my name to Mr. Reed when I get to see him.
He doesn't care to give his name, Mr. Reed.
I see. Well, send him in, Miss Case.
Yes, sir, right away. Mr. Reed will see you. His office is in there. You can go right in.
Thanks.
Come right in. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks. I was afraid I wasn't going to get to see you.
We might as well come to the point. My secretary said you came in connection with a Libby murder case.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you know anything about that, why do you come to me? Why don't you go to the police?
Look, I know I'm being tailed by one of Ellis's gorillas, see? I wouldn't have a chance. The cops went into the drugstore downstairs and sneaked through to the Sentinel building lobby. That's how I got up here without them being wise.
And why did you come to me?
I've been reading the Sentinel. I saw how you were ribbing the cops about getting the killer and breaking up rackets and all, so I decided you'd be the guy to see.
But I still don't...
I'm Jim Libby. Joe Libby's brother.
You're the brother of the man who was shot last night?
Yeah. That's right. I know why Joe went out to the Swankmore Club last night. And they know I know it.
They?
Yeah, Ellis and his gang. I can't prove it, of course, but I feel sure Lou Ellis killed my brother Joe.
I see. What makes you think so?
You remember when Tony Paterno was indicted for his black market racket, don't you?
Oh, yes, I remember. He was murdered before he went on trial.
Yeah. Well, my brother Joe was working with Paterno. Ellis was in on Paterno's deals. The night Paterno was bumped off, Joe went up to his apartment to make a report. He saw Ellis and one of his gunmen coming out of Paterno's place. Joe kept out of sight till they left. Then he went in.
Well?
He found Paterno with a knife in his back, laying over his desk. Paterno wasn't dead yet. He tried to tell Joe something, but couldn't talk. So he scrawled on a hunk of paper, telling who knifed him.
Well, why wasn't that evidence turned over to the police by your brother?
I'm coming to that. Joe got scared when Paterno slumped over, so he grabbed the hunk of paper and scrammed. He thought about going to the cops till he heard he was next on Ellis's list. He decided to hold on to the paper, putting it in a safe place, and then to let Ellis know he had it, thinking Ellis wouldn't dare have him bumped off, see?
Go on, then what?
Joe got in touch with Lou Ellis. Ellis said he wanted to be friends and would take Joe in on some good deals.
Did he?
Sure. He treated Joe like a brother, till Joe got to thinking Lou was an all right guy. Yesterday, he told Joe there wasn't any use of him keeping that paper, since they were close friends now. And said if Joe'd bring it out last night, he'd give him a grand as sort of bonus.
So your brother took the incriminating paper out with him last night?
Yeah. And I know Ellis got his mitts on it and bumped Joe off.
Well, as I see it, Ellis is smart enough to know it'd be your word against his, since he has that paper in his possession.
Yeah, but he still wouldn't want me to shoot my mouth off to the cops. When I saw I was being tailed, I got scared. Then I thought of coming to you.
Well, personally, I think you should go to the police with your story. Or you could phone them.
Nothing doing. When Ellis found out the cops were grilling me, he'd get me somehow. I'm leaving this building by the back way. Try to find a hideout somewhere.
Now, listen, perhaps it can be arranged later for you to tell your story to the police without it being known. I can understand, of course, why you fear to approach them openly at this time.
But if somebody sees me and squeals, tell us where I'm laying.
Now, wait a minute. You go to the Grand Park Hotel. I'll have my secretary make arrangements. Register under the name of, well, Joseph Libb. We'll foot the bill, and I'll keep in touch with you. No one will think of looking for you at the best hotel in the city.
Say, you got something there, mister. I'll sneak out the back way and go right over there now.
Good. Stay in your room, have your meal set up, and don't see anybody unless I call you first.
Okay, Mr. Reed. I'm sure glad I came to talk to you. So long.
Goodbye. I'll get in touch with you soon. I'll have Miss Case get busy and make arrangements right away. It looks as though Jim Libby will be the wedge that'll break a case wide open against that hard-to-get-at racketeer, Lou Ellis.
The next few minutes were spent making the necessary arrangements with the hotel. Then, as Britt Reed was about to turn his attention to other matters, Axford excitedly entered the office.
Axford, what's the idea of
Reed, what... Reed, we just got another scoop for the Sentinel.
Well, what's happened?
Another murder, that's what. A guy was just shot down in the alley behind the Sentinel building.
What?
That's right, Reed. We were in the lobby and heard the shooting. The killer's got away.
Did you find out who the victim is?
Sure. His name was on his registration card. 'Twas a guy by the name of Jim Libby.
Mr. Reed's apartment. This Mr. Reed's valet speaking.
Kato, I want you to do something right away.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Britt. I'm ready.
Listen, the police have closed the Swankmore nightclub. I want you to go there and watch from across the street. Call me if you see Lou Ellis, the racketeer, leave the place.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
If they find out you're watching, your life won't be worth a plugged nickel, so be careful.
I'll be careful. I'll go right away.
I'll be anxious to hear from you.
I'll call you right away quick when Ellis leave nightclub.
Good. I'll be waiting. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dusk had fallen when Cato phoned to tell Reed that Lou Ellis, with his bodyguard, had left the Swankmore Club. Britt Reed directed Cato to get the Black Beauty and mask, and to meet him at an appointed place downtown. Soon the powerful, low-slung car stopped in the alley behind the club.
Wait here, Cato. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Moving cautiously, Britt Reed approached the rear entrance to the club. Using the special skeleton key, he effected an entrance. Then, after making certain the place was deserted, he used the same means to enter Lou Ellis' private office.
Now to have a quick look around. I better stick to my flashlight. I'll have a look through his desk first. He wouldn't put anything in unlocked drawers. I'd better locate the safe. It's probably a small wall safe for his private stuff. Ah, well, there it is. What? Oh, I thought for a moment someone was trying to click on the lights. Let's see now. It's not here. I guess he must carry it with him if he hasn't destroyed it. I better move. Oh, Ellis coming back. He'll come in that other door. Here's where I do a quick fade, and how.
Well, now the Libby brothers can have a double funeral, huh, Slug?
That's right, boss. They sure were troublemakers. They won't be in your hair anymore.
Hey, what?
What's the matter, Lou?
Look, stuck on the inside of this drawer.
Some kind of a seal.
That's the seal of the Green Hornet.
You mean the Hornet's been here?
That's right, Slug. Yeah. Now, I hope he decided to open my wall safe.
You hope he did? Hey, are you crazy?
Oh, no, I'm not crazy. I'm smart. Slug, if the Green Hornet did open that safe, he'll find out Lou Ellis isn't to be caught napping. I'll have him right in the palm of my hand.
Sentinel City Room. What's that? Sure, there's a standing reward of $25,000. Why? Who did you say you are? Lou Ellis. Say, if you're kidding me... Okay, Mr. Ellis, but how could you get anything like that? Oh. I see. Sure, Mr. Ellis, you bet. At 9 tonight, huh? Right. We'll have someone there, all right. Thanks for calling. Goodbye. Lou Ellis wants a reporter to come to the club at 9 o'clock tonight. He's having the cops there, too. Boy, what a story that's going to be.
Stupid snakes, Lowry. Stop beating around the bush.
Ellis says the Green Hornet was snooping around his office a while ago. See? Well, he says he's got an infrared ray camera hidden in the wall panel just over the wall safe and hooked up so as to take a picture of anyone opening the safe.
So what?
So he's got a negative showing a close-up, full-face picture of the Green Hornet himself.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment.
Hello,
Now to continue our story. After searching Lou Ellis's office, Britt Reed and Cato went to their apartment, where they were discussing the situation.
Lou Ellis have reputation for being very smart racketeer, Mr. Britt.
Yes, Cato, he's smart, all right. That's why he's been able to get away with as much as he has. There must be some way to get at him. Some way to expose him for the killer that he really is.
You have idea, perhaps?
No, nothing definite, Cato.
If Ellis still have paper Jim Libby speak of...
Yes, that would be evidence enough to show him up, if he hasn't destroyed it. Also, the problem is how to get it if he still has it.
Well, maybe you have thought... Oh, Mr. Reed's apartment.
This is Ashford, Cato. I want to talk to Reed right away.
Just a minute, Miss Axford.
I could hear him. He probably thinks he has a big lead for the next edition. Hello, Axford. What's up?
Tis news that'll make your eyes bulge, that's what. And if you don't believe what I tell you, you can ask Ed Lowry. It was him who took the message.
Well, my eyes are bulging. I'm ready to believe what you say. Now, I get to the point.
Sure. That's what I'm doing, if you'll give me a chance. Now, listen to this. Lou Ellis himself phoned in a while ago. He says he's got the goods on the Green Hornet.
Got the goods on the Hornet?
That's right. Me and Lowry are going out there at 9 o'clock to see the evidence.
Well, what are you talking about, Axford? I haven't time to listen to you.
Lou Ellis says he's got a close-up, full-face picture of the Green Hornet. The negative, that is.
What? Well, that's impossible. No one can get a picture.
Sure, and Ellis had an infrared ray camera rigged up to his safe. The Hornet was snooping around and got his picture took.
Great Scott.
If Ellis has what he says, won't that be something, though?
Yeah, I can readily understand the shock it'll be to the Hornet. Well, thanks for calling, Axford.
Okay, Reed. I'll get in touch with you later. So long.
Goodbye, Axford.
What Axford say, not good, Mr. Britt?
Not good is right, Cato. Lou Ellis is smarter than we give him credit for. He has a close-up, full-face negative of a picture of the Green Hornet. We've published artist sketches of what people thought the Hornet looked like. But an actual close-up picture, even though masked, would be dynamite on the hands of the police and the FBI.
With such a picture, it's not long before they find the real identity of Green Hornet. We not wait, must do something quick, Mr. Britt.
Yes. It's come to the point where it's got to be either Lou Ellis or the Green Hornet. It's after 8 o'clock. We've got to have a showdown with Ellis before he has a chance to turn that negative over to the press and the police. Come on.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment house itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet.
It's something I didn't bargain for, Cato. It certainly has me worried.
Worry not good, Mr. Britt. It dull mind and clog up thoughts.
Okay. I'll let Britt Reed do the worrying later. But right now, the Green Hornet will think up a plan of action. Let's go.
Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness. Meanwhile, Lou Ellis and his gunman Slug sat in the racketeer's office at the Swankmore Club talking.
Hey, Lou. I just thought of something.
Yeah, what now, Slug?
Suppose that newspaper put something in the news about you calling and saying you had the goods on the Hornet, huh?
I don't know whether they'll do that or not, but I already heard it mentioned in a radio newscast.
You did? Well, look now, maybe the Hornet heard it too then.
So what?
Well, so he might come here gunning for you, that's what.
Yeah, he might at that. Well, if he does, I'll have more than just a picture negative to turn over to the cops.
You mean you ain't worried?
Oh, if I'm not worried. But I'm glad you brought it up. I'll need your help to trap him.
How you gonna do that? He ain't easy to trap from all I hear.
I'll tell you how. I have a button under my desk here. When I press it, solid steel sliding panels move into place outside of the two doors to this office.
Gee, I didn't know that.
Well, the Hornet don't know it either. If he comes in, I'll press that button. And we'll keep him covered until the cops get here. Even if he got the best of us, he couldn't get out, see?
You mean we'll be trapped in here with him till the cops get here?
Sure, but we're two against one. When he realizes he's trapped, he won't have much fight left in him.
Yeah, you think of everything, don't you, Lou?
I always think ahead of the other guy, Slug. That's why I get by. I got the jump on the Hornet once, and believe you me, before this evening's over, I'll do it again, one way or another. The cops get that negative at 9 o'clock. If the Hornet wants to come snooping around before then, I'm ready for him. So let him come.
While the two men were planning how to trap the Green Hornet in case of a visit, a long, gleaming black car came to a stop in a secluded spot near the nightclub. Britt Reed and Cato sat for a few moments, discussing their plans.
Ellis is smart enough to expect a visit from the Hornet, Cato. He knows the news of his call to the Sentinel would be made public.
If he expect visit, not be easy to surprise Ellis, Mr. Britt.
Well, I'm going in, whether he's surprised or not. Come on. Be sure to bring those pliers with you.
I bring them. When you want me to carry out plan?
In exactly 5 minutes. Then hurry as fast as you can to the rear door of the office. I'm going through the hallway to the other entrance.
We go now?
Yes, this is it. And let's hope we can turn the tables on Ellis. If we don't, it's curtains for the Green Hornet and Britt Reed both. Come on.
Lou Ellis's office inside the nightclub. Lou and Slug waited as the time drew near for the arrival of the reporters and the police to get the evidence against the Green Hornet. Ellis sat with a smile of triumph on his face. But as time went by, his gunman Slug glanced about the office nervously, beads of perspiration gradually appearing on his brow. His hand shook as he reached for a match to light the cigarette which hung loosely from his lips.
And door's locked, Lou.
Nope, it'll be easy for anyone to come in. But if the wrong one comes in, it'll be tough for him getting out. Don't look so worried, Slug.
I ain't worried. Who said I was worried?
Well, you sure look it. Just keep your rod handy in case it's needed. Time's getting short. He may not come at all. Maybe he took it on the lam when he heard the news. It's the wisest thing he could do, believe me.
Yeah. Guess he got scared when he... Hey... What's happened to the lights? Hey, Lou, somebody just come in. It's a target I can't see. Maybe it's him. Press the button quick.
It won't work without power, you fool.
Thanks for talking. Now I know where you are, Ellis.
Oh, hey, let go. Slug, it must be the Hornet. I'll get you if it's the last thing I do.
Drop that gun. Drop it.
Oh,
I'll blast him, Lou.
No, Slug. You might plug me.
This will take care of you.
Gas. Watch out, Slug. Gas, I can't.
You ain't scaring me, Hornet. I'll get you before you leave here. Well, say something. Go on, say something. I know you're still in here.
Slug stood listening, trying to hear the slightest sound that might betray the presence of the man whose very name struck his heart with a cold, clutching fear. The rapid beating of his own heart filled his ears. His heavy breathing was audible throughout the room, indicating to Britt Reed that fear of the mysterious Green Hornet dominated the mind of the man in the darkness before him. A paralyzing fear that had taken the place of reason. Slug crouched in the corner of the office, afraid to move. Afraid that at any moment the hands of the dreaded Green Hornet would reach out of the blackness and clutch his throat. The thought that made him cry out involuntarily.
Oh, no, I won't let him get me.
Slug held his breath. That laugh came from the other side of the room to the left. Or was it? As he strained forward, waiting for the Green Hornet to laugh again, a sudden sound came from across the office to the right.
Oh. So you're over there, huh? Now, maybe that winged you. You can't get away. If you open the door, I can spot you. At the desk, huh? I won't miss next time.
Pull it, eh, Slug?
Why, you...
Now for the finish, big boy.
No, hey, wait.
Here's some gas, tough guy.
No.
You all right?
Yes.
Cutting power line to trick.
Yes, use your flashlight.
I light it. There.
We've got to hurry. I want to find that negative, also that incriminating note if Ellis still has it.
Bring the light over here near the desk.
There, Ellis, on floor by desk. I look through pockets.
Yes, hurry. I'll search for the negative. He must have had it handy. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. The negative and two prints. Well, that's a good thing the police didn't get these.
Well, here are papers from Racketeer's coat pocket.
Look, here's the note, all right.
Police coming now.
Well, I'll stick this paper in Ellis's hand. There, and the seal. All right, let's go, and fast.
Later in Britt Reed's apartment.
And that's the whole story, Reed. And Lowry's here to bear me out on it.
Well, what do you know?
I tell you, boss, it's the biggest scoop of the year. Getting Ellis with evidence enough to hang him. All because he tried to double-cross the Hornet.
Of course, Reed. Lowry means it's the biggest scoop so far. But not as big as if we got that picture of the Green Hornet. I know you're disappointed we didn't get that.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Axford. After all, we can't have everything, you know.
You mean, then, that you're satisfied with the story we got tonight?
Yes, Axford. As a matter of fact, I'm far more satisfied than you think.
Let the legs be, Blake Bob! Ellis and gang indicted for murder, Green Hornet implicated! Read all about it! Green Hornet still at large! Let the legs be, Blake Bob!
Copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. All characters, names, places, and incidents are fictitious. Bob Hall speaking. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.